on this, take number two, Mr. Craftster. We continue on the Vanderbilt estate. Recently, there's been some mention of a house that was taken and moved from here to Johnny Van Dyke Road. And put it on his lot would be now living for you. Know if that house came from Vanderbilt, or if there's anything to that story? We were thinking of the Donnelly house, or maybe the Herman house that was down by the Donnelly house, the old coachman's house.
That's right. The Herman house down, that was tore down, I think, before Johnny Van Dyke had that one there. It could be. I never knew of any houses on here that they gave to anyone, or that was moved out. The ones that they tore down was usually taken out to the old wood yard. Any lumber in it that was any good was taken out there. It could be, but...
The Donnelly house, remember, that was taken down a lot when... That was the coachman's house down by the river road. And
that's the entrance where you come in, right across from where George Rim lives now, that comes into the garage. That stood on the west side of the entrance there. And John Van Dyke's house is nothing like that. He couldn't build a house like that from the Donnelly house. That was sort of cut up, the Donnelly house was.
And you think that was just destroyed, taken down and
that's disposed right. of somehow? That's what they did. They would take those houses down and they would store the windows. They had this wood yard. I don't know whether it's still there yet, but they had a wood yard out back of the Howard house, down on the road that went out to the big field out back here. They called it Cripple Bush. They had a wood yard there, a monstrous wood yard. And they had, there was a steamroller building where they used to keep the steamroller in there. And there was a... corn crib in there, and then there was this monstrous big woodshed, and then there was a place where they kept all kinds of block and falls and big ropes that they used to use for moving trees and around on the place, and had some wagons in there.
That was out in Cripple Bush?
No, before you get to Cripple Bush. It was, as you go in there and go up into the old Howard house, you go in the farm entrance and start east, and when you go up to the Howard house up through the woods, you go beyond that, and it's few hundred yards to your right, just off the road there. Nowhere's near Cripple Bush. Old Cripple Bush would be a half a mile, three-quarters of a mile out through the woods. Yeah.
You mentioned the steamroller. Was that part of the family or the Vanderbilt equipment?
Oh, yes. Yes, they had a steamroller. They had a stone crusher at one time. He crushed his own stone for around on the roads. And that was stored. That was originally the stone crusher sat just east of where the vegetable garden was. It sat over there on a rock ledge. And then they moved it out over in back of the wood yard. And they crushed all their own stone for all the roads and the driveways around here.
I never heard of that one. And another subject, unpaid, the employees on the estate. Mr. Shears was the head superintendent, shall we say. Now, on payday, was the whole staff paid from Mr. Shears' office, or did each, the household have their own paymaster and the chauffeurs, how did each get paid?
Well, the house, The house help was paid, my check came from New York City. From Mr. Vanderbilt's office, New York City, my house, or my check came. I don't know whether the girls was paid by checks or money, but that also came and was distributed by the housekeeper to the help here. The butlers got their checks from New York City. The farm help and what we call the park help, the people that worked on the grounds, they used to get their money over what they call Mr. Shears's office. And he had a girl working for him that would make up a payroll, and he would go down with the payroll with, it would be Irv Bayless, who was a police officer in town, or myself would go with Mr. Shears and bring the money up, and the men would come in and they would get the money in cash and would sign a receipt for it. That was all taken care of in the office. And then that was a job that I had to do when, if Mr. Shears and Mr. Vandenbult was away on vacation, Mr. Shears, sometimes he'd take a trip with Mr. Vanderbilt on the yacht.
Oh, and he did travel on the yacht?
He would take him, maybe for a short trip or a sail, he'd be gone. Then that was my job to go up. The girl would pay off. I would go down and get the money and bring it up, and the girl would pay off. They got their money in the office, Mr. Shears' office.
They paid in cash, right?
They paid in cash.
When you went after the money, were you armed?
I was armed, always armed when I, as long as I worked for him or drove him, I always was armed. Always
cared. When you weren't collecting the payroll, you were
armed? Yeah, always armed. Always traveled with a gun.
Is that right? And he knew you was armed?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. He knew I was armed.
So, most of your time actually was on the around driving, with the after the horse period, after the carriage era.
That's right.
The automobile.
Automobile.
Mm-hmm. I think I covered it for here. What do you say we move on to another location?
Okay.
So you remember Mrs. Alt?
Yes, she worked here for quite a while.
What was her duty?
Well, she was a parlor maid. And she sort of looked after Mrs. Vanderbilt. If her maid didn't happen to be here, why, she would act as Mrs. Vanderbilt's maid. Personal maid. Until the regular maid would arrive on the train or get here.
Do you call any of the other people that, around the village that worked for the family here?
Well, not that's not at the present time, can I?
How about Everett Miller? Staff here?
I don't think she was. She could have been, but I don't remember. Let's see, there was the two Newman boys worked over on the farm on the other side.
Everett
and Cox. But as I think over, I can't remember, and of course, myself. Of course, the Herman boys, they lived here, but they...
There was a daughter, Ralph Herman's sister. I think she lives in the old home of the other family.
She married a Kip Lena. Lena Herman was her name, of course, and then she married Kip.
How about this hall here? Would you have a little bit of some sort of one time?
No, this is the only, the way I remember it is just as it is. The little dumbwaiter and this elevator here, that's all that I remember.
Like a little dumbwaiter sometimes?
Yeah, it goes up, the little dumbwaiter that goes up into the...
Oh, the one in the corner.
In the corner, goes up the butler's thing.
The butler. Yeah.
And this is the only elevator that I ever remember.
Mm-hmm. Let's take a look down in the basement.
Maybe I'd better take my this on or off here.
Well, what was this? The
don't step on yours.
The cold storage in the furnaces.
Yeah.
Morning.
This is the coal in the kitchen. And the coal was stored right in this area.
Oh yeah. Yes. They used to run it down through. Then they used to wheel it out with a wheelbarrow. You know. That's
take it from here to the furnace.
The furnaces in a wheelbarrow. And isn't this where they used to take the ashes out?
I think so.
Where they used to take the ashes out and haul them up. They had a block and fall that they'd haul the cans up full of ashes out and dump them. That's the way they took those out.
Where was the ashes? Kept off in that other section by the
well, they had them in the cans. That's what they.
Oh, they kept them all in the cans.
In cans, and then if the cans got full, then they was just kept from in front of the furnace there. And then when they drawed them away, while they'd load them with the cans and bring them over here, and then they had this like a block and fall over the hole outside, and they'd haul them up through.
Must have been some load of ashes.
Yeah.
Now, was this? Do you think this plumbing was all in here at the time they had coal stored here, or is this something been added later?
No, as far as I know, that's been in here. I can't. That hasn't been added.
They might have had partitions around it.
Yeah. But this here, I don't see that this here is.
You think it's changed much?
No, I don't. I don't think they've changed it. Get it?
They changed the hot water supply. They put a little.
Oh yeah.
Oil burner,
yeah. Yeah. Well, this is the.
That was the original one.
The original hot water boiler.
Who took care of the heat and the ashes? Who was in charge of this?
Well, this was Farley's job, and then Fred Trout took it over.
Fred Trout.
And then, of course, your night man had to look at it.
Now in the kitchen. Is it, do you recognize the kitchen here, or is it similar to what it was as you were, when the family was there?
Yeah, very, very, very similar to it. The stove there, and the grill on the end there.
Does this look like an original table, you think, it was here? By the table by the stove?
I would say it's the same table. It looks very much like it.
How about this? Other section here near the in front of the clock. You think there was a table or anything here in the middle of this floor?
Oh, there was always a table here. Always a table here because that's where the kitchen help. The chef or first cook, second cook, kitchen maid, they was always here. They ate in here.
Oh, the cooks ate in the kitchen?
That's right. They ate in here.
They didn't eat in the servants?
No.
Huh?
That was for the butlers and the chambermaids, the parlor maids, or any of the visiting help that came. They ate in there. The housekeeper, she had a little private dining room in there.
Is that right? The housekeeper had her own dining room?
That's right.
The kitchen help had their meals in the kitchen.
That's right.
And the other servants had a servants' dining room. And who took care of the servants' dining room? Do you know if was there a girl assigned to serving the service or, you know, setting the table.
Well, of course, the kitchen maid, what they call the kitchen maid, she was the one that had to wash the dishes and clean up, and she was the one that had to take the food into the dining room for the help, see?
Was it, you know, if there was a servant assigned to the servant sleeping quarters,
Well, when they were, when they was running in full swing, there was a chamber made for the first, second, and third floor. There was three chambermaids, that, and then there was a parlor maid, and they each one had a floor.
And on the third floor, there was a third chambermaid machine. Have anything to do with cleaning the servants' sleeping quarters? Did she clean those rooms or the bathrooms or anything?
They took each, whoever had a room up there took care of her own room. I mean, the maid had a room up there, well, she took care of her own room. And no one went in. That was her private, private home, private room.
I guess, what nationality was actually helping in the house, the women helping?
They varied. There was French, of course, Mrs. Vandal was made with most always French. And there was English, there was some English girls, Swedes, there were some Swedish girls. Well, it, long towards the end, when Mr. Vanderbilt was here alone, Mrs. Farley came up, and she would clean around upstairs. I mean, they had very little. When he was here, he didn't entertain too much. He was his friends, and Mrs. Farley, Mrs. Emery.
Was Mrs. Alt near the end?
Mrs. Alt, she was here away for quite a while, way near the end. And they... That was Mr. Donnelly's job to, he'd go pick them up in the morning and take them back at night, actually, was true.
Mr. Donnelly.
Yeah. Donnelly, he had the, well, originally the horse and wagon, and then he got, they got him a car, a Ford car that he used to drive in. Mm-hmm.
He was a former coachman.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Very good. I believe those rooms were locked there. They had
it. Well, maybe it was a health room.
Were men's servants, was it?
Yeah, men. It was, I don't know. I forgot.
That's a storage room now, though. Good deal of this bedding is and furniture, I think, was left here by the army.
Yeah. I don't know.
How about this table out in the hallway? Do you?
With that's. I don't know where that comes from. I don't think that's the dining room table.
No, it's an. Ex-
I remember it was a square table.
Square.
Yeah, big square. I got one just like this. Just exactly like around my shoulder, I creep over that.
That one is furnished, which is locked.
Hey, you see the headlights? See that?
The butler and the houseman, I suppose, would be along in here somewhere.
That's right. Butler. But you see, he... since we talked about the butlers, Ed Nielsen was his valet and also acted as a butler, plus Alfred Martin, and there was another one by the name of Henry. I can't remember his last name, but that's when Mrs. Vanderbilt was alive, there was Henry. That was the three. Henry had a room down here. Edward Nielsen had a room down here. And, of course, the chef did when Mrs. Vanderbilt was alive. He had a room down here.
And how many people would work in here? You remember about two or three in the laundry?
Two or three, that's right.
And it was all washed by hand, scrub boards probably.
Sure, sure. Back when they first started, of course, they had a couple of ladies that worked in here. That was their job. A couple of maids. The laundry rack where they hung the laundry up on. Yeah. Dry it.
A dryer is unusual, probably one of the...
Yes, sir. Wash and dry them and iron them all. Yeah.
There's the old...
That's really an antique. Yeah, I can remember, I'll tell you, I came in here, of course, when I was a young kid, but I remember it more, of course, after I went to work for him, and of course, that's 50 years ago, 50 years ago.
Let's take a look over here to the wine cellar. You remember anything?
Yeah, all on the rocks.
About this?
It's a heart. You hooked up, you're going?
No. Hey, what do you say?
How's everything?
Oh. Yeah, there's the rocks. Yeah, there's the rocks.
What was those little cupboards? Would that be something?
Oh, that was
wines
and wine, the whole thing. And he would come down here, Mr. Vanderbilt would come down here with a houseman. Come in, of course, you couldn't come in here. It was locked up.
Yeah.
So when they wanted anything, he came down with them.
He just issued what they needed or wanted.
He would pick it out himself, what he was going to use this year.
Did he carry a large stock of wines and stuff?
Oh, yes, he had a lot. Old wines. Yeah. Old wines.
How about after Mr. Vanderbilt died, was there... any stock left in here, you remember?
Yeah.
Done with it?
There was, dozens upon dozens of bottles. And they took them out, what they didn't want. Mrs. Manalan took them out and they opened them up and let them go down the drain and through the bottles, made sure that they was empty and the bottles went out.
What happened to those bottles, do you remember?
Oh, they went to the dump. Went to the dump. Yeah.
Where was that dump located?
Why, it was out here in the woods on the other side of the road over there.
On the farm part?
Yeah, the farm. They had several places where they had dumps. And, I don't remember just where they were dumped at the time. But when we was in the cellar there, there was a little drain there. The round hole that Fred Trout was here at the time, and he took the bottles down. Mr. Shear supervised and stood right there while Fred pulled the corks out, and she gurgle down the drain. Kind of makes your mouth water.
Yeah, probably a lot of valuable contents went down there.
Yes, yes, valuable.
This cooler was probably the one of the original ones, huh?
Oh yes, this and these was, and here's one I can remember. They'd come over from the farm and with a big horse, pair of horses and a wagon, load these coolers up, you know, big cakes of ice they put in them. And then And we used to call him the express man. Fred Oakley was the express man, I think. The last one. He had a horse and wagon. He used to bring the vegetables, the milk, cream, and butter around. Mm-hmm. And then he had the vegetables on for the people that lived on the place. And he also had ice. He had to get ice, and he filled their ice boxes. And so they got their ice, their vegetables.
They probably traveled through that subway under the Route 9.
Oh, yeah.
To the farm.
Yeah.
Oh, let's cut the onion here. Do you remember anything about this?
Well, these are garbage in here.
Garbage?
Ashes from the kitchen stove and your laundry there and garbage. And it was a store place. I don't know what it was. Yeah, there you are.
These big candelabras over here, you never ever see them around on the lawn or outside anywhere, portico.
As far as I remember, they sat on the porch out there, as far as I remember, not out front, but on the
west side?
West side there, as far as I remember. I noticed two vases inside they used to set up, too. Two vases, large vases.
One in the basement?
Yeah. They set up on there.
On the front part? The west side?
West side. They would change them around. You remember I told you about the bay trees being out there? Well, they would change them around. And back talking about these bins out here, these over here, which is used for the fireplace wood, of course, which is in there now. As I say, fire.
There's the trees and shrubbery is growing up.
Oh, tremendously. You see your hydrants out there? There's one of the old hydrants out there.
That's the original one.
Yeah, that's a measurable one. This one here that's along the road, that's in the wood.
Did you say that the road one time went right across the circle, through the middle here?
That's right. If you come up the hill here, it went right straight across, right through the middle. Later on, that was seeded down and was made to go around the outside there, the outside circle. All these trees here, I suppose they're still all named, but he had a name for every tree. They're from all over the world, different brought here, where some of them have lost, but these here are over 100 years old.
And they get rid of these trees, they're now replacing, see, some of the younger hemlocks and so forth.
I can see that. There's the Japanese tea garden that I told you about over there on the left.
Yeah. We're going by the gardener's cottage and around too.
As you used to look right down through here, there was a fountain right down at the end there. We used to call her Barefoot Kate. I don't know whether it's still there yet or not, but it was a...
The statue's still there.
There was a big goldfish in front of it. The fountain was there, and they had the goldfish in, and they would take them out and bring them up in the greenhouse in the wintertime.
The live goldfish, we had to bring them out to the greenhouse, huh?
Oh, yeah, because the pool froze solid. This here, the men that got paid on this side, they got paid here in the office right here.
Mr. Van Allen's office?
Yeah, that's right. Of course, this road used to go down there. All these greenhouses are torn down now.
Do you remember anything about this brick wall, where the brick came from? Or?
No, I can't tell you. Can't tell you about that. You see all the, here's another little statue out here, a little fountain. See? This was all Italian, they called it the Italian garden. These were Italian statues copied after gardens from over in Italy. These urns here, these big marble urns, they was always planted.
Mr. Allen, he was here for some time, wasn't he?
Yes.
The gardener, the head gardener?
Yeah, he was here for a good while. I mean, he was here when when I came in 1920, he was here. This right along here, this used to what they call the starting greenhouse. They used to start all their cuttings through here.
On this side of the wall?
Right, and on the other side.
On the other side.
The other side. This is not occupied now, is it? This
house? It is, yes. The other one also. The pumping station over there, the generating plant, did you ever have anything to do with that?
Well, yes, when I had to run that when John Reeves was what they called the electrician. And originally their electricity here was, they made their own. They had their battery over there, was what they called direct current. And he had charge of the pumping station and the batteries. And if anything happened to him, that's after I came to work for him, if he got sick, why then I had to swing in and run the plant.
Now the generator generated the electricity for the estate. And was the pumps also in that same building that pumped the water?
That is right.
The standpipe?
That's right. The water came down through a flume, as they call it, a big round pipe came down and from the upper pond. That's what is known as the Sherwood Pond. And it came down to a big flywheel. And that pumped the water off up into the main here, which took it on back up into the tank back of Howard's, the big storage tank. And also off of this flywheel, there was a big generator that ran, and that furnished the electricity that stored in the big glass batteries that was in the
Well, they had a battery system also.
Well, that's what it was. This here was what they call direct current, just like your car. It was a battery.
The water pump was driven by, rather the pump to pump the water was driven by water power or electric power?
Water power. It was all water power came through this flume. They opened this flume up, the gate, what they called the gate, and let the water out of the flume, went on to the flywheel. And this flywheel, of course, was on a shaft which run the generator, and it was a big belt that run the generator off the shaft. It was a big pulley wheel on the shaft to a big generator, and that's what furnished your electricity. And you could cut the batteries out and just run with the generator that would furnish electricity all to the mansion and to the coach stable and to the gardener's house.
And that electricity, was it only furnished places on this side of the Route 9? The farm side, was that furnished?
No, that had nothing to do with the farm side. The pavilion, the mansion, the greenhouses, the gardener's house, the garage, that's the only ones that had electricity. No, possibly, I may be wrong there, possibly the gatehouse down here, because the garage had it, and that was changed over. It had to go to DC current after they changed over. They had to change the motors all over.
After they put in the batteries?
After they discontinued the battery and put in electricity from Poughkeepsie, why, then they had to put new motor. I had a couple of motors in here, one on my pump, air pump, and I had one on the big motor that run all the machinery in the machine shop. I had to put new motors in.
The Donnelly house you're speaking about was...
Stood right here, just inside of this gate here. That there, between those trees in there, that was known as the Donnelly house. The coachman's house, that's what it was called. The coachman's house.
Do you remember any other buildings around that was here when you first came, that was on this side of the highway, on the Manchie side?
Well, of course, this gatehouse down here.
But down around the... The gatehouse.
The gatehouse, and then, of course, you went through the cut by the gatehouse, and there was the dock was there, and a small boathouse was there. And that belonged to Vanderbilt, and was later turned over to the town, I guess. I don't know. It just depreciated and tore it down. And then, of course, the railroad station down there, the coal shed, that belonged. Vanderbilt had the coal shed built down there.
That coal shed was just for his use, and dealers use that?
The coal dealers used it too, but it was originally built for him. This pond here, I see that's been fixed up, the old dam.
That was, you ever remember around the railroad station, sluices where the railroad picked up water as they went through here on the fly?
That was to the south of the railroad station. There was a metal sluice right between the rails, and they dropped the scoop down from the engine as they was going along, and that picked up the water, drove it right up into the water tank, right up in the engine.
Do you have any idea where that water was supplied from?
Yeah, they've come from the rivers where the water came from. It was pumped in from the river.
I wonder how far apart those water pickups would be on the railroad. Was it every 50 miles or so, or more or less?
Well, that I couldn't tell you because I know they used to have some trouble, you know, they had to watch it. And we had real cold weather in those years. And sometimes the water would fly and out and would freeze along on the sides. They had, sometimes it would cause them trouble. You spoke about Plain, that's where the Plain lived in there.
I remember a Myers family down here, of course that was years ago, that had a caviar rendering business.
No, I don't remember that.
That is the old hoteling house, that one right there. This is the old hotel here that used to be here.
I remember, yes. Yeah. There was a hotel there?
Oh, that was the old hotel itself, up there. Oh, the railroad, this used to have beautiful flower beds out here. That was the old railroad storage place. You can see the piers down there from the shed, the old coal shed. You can see the piers standing down there, the stone piers.
And then they had, they dumped the coal from the railroad cars into some sort of an escalator. And
that's right. It was a pit there, the coal came out from the bottom of the railroad car. They'd run it over this pit, and the coal would come out. And then there was an escalator, belt type with buckets on, that ran from a motor that took it up. And then there was a big round screen, metal screen that turned, that run from the motor, and that graded your coal. You got coal dust, and then you got the peat coal, the chestnut.
Oh, the coal was graded here at the
station.
That's right.
That's right. Of course, you could buy a carload of chestnut coal or a carload of stove coal, but it always run through that screen. There's a certain amount of dirt and dust into it that cleaned it out.
You ever remember Mr. Vanderbilt coming to Hyde Park? His private railroad folks.
I never know him to come as long as I was with him to have that. He had the authority to have any train stopped, but he never did. He would hook his private car on the back of a train when he was out of New York City, a regular train going up through to the Adirondacks, and he wouldn't even have it stop here. Train would be stopping at Poughkeepsie, and we would have to take him down there and his food and stuff and leave it loaded on the train right at Poughkeepsie. He wouldn't even take his authority to have it stop here.
You mentioned you took his food down there. What is that?
Well, that was the milk, the cream, the butter, the vegetables, the flowers, and of course his clothes.
I would visit the coach house. How about the outside of the coach house here as it is now? Do you remember any flowers or shrubbery that was here or tubs of any decoration?
Well, right in front of each side of the big door here was two great big blue spruce trees, beautiful trees. I think that you have a picture of me standing by one of those blue spruce when I first came here in 1920. And there was a beautiful magnolia tree right across here. Oh, a beautiful magnolia tree. Outside of that, to look at it, of course, there's the storm door on the front of my office there. That never was there, but the rest of it, the doors to the coach side and the doors here to the other side is just the same as it was when I was here.
One time I noticed a very ornamental weather vane on the peak. And you can't see it from in the center.
It was a big horse onto it. Yeah. It twisted around. I see one thing here that is deteriorated. These two big lights on each side, decorative lights on each side of the door here, the glass is gone out of them. We used to keep those up.
Were they ever lighted? Or
no, we never had them lit.
They looked like they may have been gas lights. Did any of the staff or anybody ever live in the coach house here?
Well, when this here was originally the coach house, they had there was the coachman, and then there was the tack man, and there was the footman, and then they had a couple of grooms, and they all had rooms upstairs. And then there was their big reading room upstairs.
Are they married people?
No, all single men.
Single men that lived there.
Yeah, all single men.
Now, let's go into what was the office, I believe. We'll start right over here.
Times in the last couple, 3 weeks. You know, there's not too much change up there. I mean, it's not too much change. Of course, this is the place that's really changed. There was a little toilet there for the toilet.
There's a toilet in there yet.
No, he's talking about right here.
No, going inside. There's a door going, that door went inside.
Well, yeah, that door, here's where the door was, right here.
Yeah, and that went inside the toilet.
Yeah, and then the toilet, the face basin was faced this way, and the toilet was in the corner. And that's where I had picked Mr. Vandal up down to, let's see, I came up to the farm that day, come back and run in here. Tom Golden was painting here. When I left, Bill Moore was my second man.
Yeah, Ferdy.
Yeah, Ferdy. And when I come back, he says, Tom fell off the stepladder there.
And killed him.
Yeah, and he's sitting in there on the toilet, and with his head against the much toilet, the marble, the wall, bleeding out of his ear. So I says to Bill, well then I called, it wasn't hooked up outside, it was only hooked up to the mansion.
Yeah.
So I run to the mansion, and I told him to get that crank, which they did. He came down and said, take it to the hospital. So he just took the little station wagon, threw some blankets in, and loaded him in. Tom never come back.
Oh, is his name?
Tom Golden. Bucky Golden.
Yeah.
Wahoo.
Want to do a fall on his head?
Yeah. You see what happened? You ain't got that thing turned on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Your clothes closet. That's where we have our uniforms, raincoats and stuff. And you came in this door. And you went out through that door there. This here was all closed up. The garage was separate from the coach there.
Yeah.
Now, this is, well, you see, this is parquet floor, and the whole thing is parquet floor.
Yeah. That's why we put the linoleum down to preserve it.
Trying to save some of this wood, because he's getting this stuff,
getting roughed up from us guys walking in and out with mud on our feet.
Now, what did they keep in that side of the building?
Coaches.
Coaches. Yeah. And then this was the garage here.
You see, that originally, this archway out here originally was open.
Where you go into that rack there.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
Where those two benches are, Mike, that used to be open there.
This was all the coach stable originally. They'd take and hook up a pair of four horses here on what they
called the four and a half, or that's the exercising cart. And they drive them right out here and drive them right around in this garage here. Drive them right around and around here. That's the way they do it.
They exercise them here or just?
No, no, they just drive them around in there, you know, breaking them in, then they take them out on the road. But that's how big the thing was. If I remember correctly, he and I, he wanted to get it painted, and he had the Eddie Foster walking around here to see about painting it. Of course, it wasn't too much as just your woodwork and your wainscot, the rest is stucco, of course, in Britain. And we walked around, and just talking, and I said to him, how much did this building cost you, Mr. Rambo? And he says, how much do you think? And, I said, I have no conception at all. But he says, when I put this up, it cost me $75,000. I said, you couldn't build it for three times that now. You couldn't.
Yeah, you couldn't build it for anywhere near three times that.
Well, that's at the time, when I was talking to him in the 20s.
Yeah.
The 1920s.
Now close to, I'd say a half a million over.
Oh, yeah. Easy. You see, all these here, well, I guess they've taken them off, but the tile that was on this roof, was slate.
Yeah, it's all tile.
Yeah, that came from New Jersey. Special.
Was it that the half moon tile?
That was on your ridges, your half moon tile. And the others was red. Red about 6 inches wide and about that long. And everything, every time something hit it, the snow, the ice would get under it, would snap, and there was all...